The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
And we welcome you back. The third hour of our program is live and underway. Nate Oates joining us in a few minutes, the basketball coach at Alabama, having a spectacular season, probably playing better than anyone in the league and nearly as good as anyone in the country. We've had a busy program already, if you're just getting off work, in the car, or wherever. And we began talking about the hire at Tennessee, a new athletic director. They did not waste any time. You didn't think they would with something this urgent happening. Danny White, who has been at UCF in recent years, he previously had been at Buffalo. He's the new athletic director. He is the brother of the Florida basketball coach and the son of Kevin White, one of the most distinguished athletic directors in the country. He announced this week he is stepping down at Duke. He previously had been at Notre Dame. We also had Terry Bowden in the last hour. Terry Bowden, the former Auburn coach who left there under a cloud of controversy, went to network television for a while, has gotten back in it, and has been in North Alabama and Akron. Spent a couple of years as a graduate assistant getting his degree, a master's. He already has a law degree at Clemson, and he just was hired this week at Louisiana Monroe. Let's get back to the calls. And Jim is up next. Hey, Jim, welcome. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. First-time caller.
Wonderful. Thank you for calling.
I have a question. Everybody talks about probation. What about reduction of scholarships?
Well, that's always a possibility. When you start sanctioning a school, there are a number of ways you do it. You limit them in recruiting. You limit visits. Those are considered less punitive. Scholarships are probably considered the most punitive. And then you can also take away postseason, which it sounds important, but usually a program like this is so far down, it's not going to be a big deal. Scholarships are usually where the action is. If you rip off some scholarships, you are doing serious damage to that school.
Yeah, I was thinking about that because I remember Mike Dubose at Alabama. What happened there?
Right.
Remember Brewer at Ole Miss. What happened there?
Yeah.
And Pete Carroll at Southern Cal. Southern Cal. What happened there? And the way that lady, the chancellor, talked, she all but hung him out to dry to get basically the same penalties.
Well, let me say this, and I spoke to someone who has some knowledge of that situation today. She took a chance. I will agree with you. I think what you're hoping is that the NCAA looks at this in a narrow perspective and gives her credit for being proactive and gives her credit for doing what she did, and maybe counting that as time off for good behavior. It doesn't mean they will. They could. It really depends on the seriousness of the charges, which in her mind were pretty serious. But she did not do it in the conventional textbook fashion. And the conventional textbook fashion is to obfuscate, mislead, act like you don't even know what the NCAA is talking about. That's what a couple of schools are still doing around these parts. Let's continue to get with more phone calls and check in with Bill, who is in Alabama. Hey, Bill.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
Bill, I'm well. Thank you.
It's funny when you're hanging on, you start thinking about something different to say, but it's funny about Danny White. You may have touched on it since he's from Central Florida. If on probation, Tennessee goes undefeated, will he claim a national championship for them?
Yeah, and I said this, and I really think it's a unique hire, but I thought Danny White, quite frankly, took that UCF national championship thing a little too far.
Yeah, just a little bit. But what I'd called you about is kind of an interesting thing. We had a debate talking a friend of mine, and I said, well, I'll call Paul. He said, you won't? I said, I will. We were talking about Alabama winning a championship after, they lost to Notre Dame. Did they not have the polls made where they crowned a champion before then, especially the coaches? Because Notre Dame didn't go to bowls. The Big Ten only sent somebody to the Rose Bowl. And if you'd been one year before, you couldn't even go back to the Rose Bowl, whether you had a great record or not.
Yeah, Bill, people don't realize how utterly screwed up college football was, even back then. And yeah, Alabama, it's easy to take shots at Alabama. For all the Alabama national championships that they claim that they probably shouldn't have gotten, they were also ripped off on about the same number. And one of them especially involved, two of them may have involved Notre Dame. So
right.
The one that everybody points out, though, is the 1973. And there's another one that there are two where Alabama played Notre Dame and was declared the national champion. And by right. It may have been UPI, and then the AP award went to the winner of the Alabama-Notre Dame game. Yeah, in 1966, Alabama was robbed of a national championship. They were undefeated, and Notre Dame went for a tie against Michigan State and ended up getting it, and they had one more game against Southern Cal. There's another one in there that Alabama won where they lost to Southern Cal, and then Southern Cal lost a game, and then Alabama had a split. I mean, it was a mess, but
right.
the most important thing was to start giving the wire service polls after the season. And that happened after 73.
No, I agree, but your caller just a minute ago, you know, we're saying that Tennessee did the right thing, and it does seem like the right thing, but as an Alabama fan, we know what doing the right thing can do. We stared down the end of the barrel.
Yeah, Bill.
Which I'd love for somebody to say that in this day and time.
The classic case, Alabama learned the hard way in the aftermath of the Antonio Langham situation, which seems like a million years ago, but it was in 1993. Alabama essentially, they should have held him out of a game. And had they done so, the NCAA
right.
probably would have said, it's a three-game penalty. Instead, Gene Stallings was the coach. He fought back. It was a terror. They did not cooperate. The NCAA ended up giving them a three-year probation, and we're talking about massive sanctions. It turned out that the NCAA was so corrupt in its dealings with Alabama that they took one of those years off, which they never do. Now, the next time it happened, Alabama essentially pled guilty. They said, we're wrong. Just do whatever you want. And the Alabama the head of the Alabama compliance, the faculty rep or whatever, was on the committee on infractions, I think. And that's when the chairman of the NCAA infractions committee, Tom Yeager, said Alabama is staring down the barrel of a gun. They nearly got the death penalty because they did cooperate. It was a complete disaster. Alabama did the wrong thing both times. And now look at them. We'll take a break. We will come back and talk to the head coach at the University of Alabama basketball. Can Alabama win a national title in both football and basketball this year? Some people are beginning to wonder.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We welcome you back, and it's great to have all of you here, and we are really delighted to welcome our next guest. He is Nate Oates, the head basketball coach at the University of Alabama. Before the season, the Tide was picked to finish fifth in the SEC, and right now they are probably playing as well as anyone in the country. Coach, congratulations on the start. I know there's a long way to go before the finish, but we're thrilled to have you, and I know you have to be pretty pleased with the way this team is playing.
Yeah, shoot, our guys are playing really well. I was going to say, you got to it before me, but we may still finish fifth. We got a long ways to go. We got to keep it going. We got not even halfway there yet, provided we play all the games this year. But, yeah, it was so far so good. The first seven have gone great.
It's not an easy haul, and some teams are having a tougher time of it than others. We talked to you before the season, and we all knew this was going to be one of the challenges. How do you can't run away from it, but how do you lessen that in terms of not distracting from what you're trying to accomplish?
Yeah, I mean, I told our guys at the very beginning of this year, like, let's be really thankful every time we get to go out and play, because there's going to be, you know, games canceled. We got our Houston game canceled, and it's going to be postponements and all this stuff. So let's take advantage every time you're out there. No guarantees. I mean, I told our guys when we played LSU, and we were 6-0, they were 5-1. Had we lost that game, we'd be tied at 6-1. They'd have the tiebreaker. And I said, and there's no guarantee we get the rematch that's on the calendar, because there's so many games are getting canceled and postponed. So you've got to play every game like it may be the only time you get to play them. Be thankful you get to play the game when you play it. And then, obviously, on our end, we haven't had to cancel any. We've had certain guys out for different things and whatnot with the COVID. But I think just being really careful, and guys, like, you know, we've got five seniors on the team. So if you want this year to go great, and so far it's going pretty well, like, we got to take care of our business off the floor, make sure we don't have to cancel any games because of any of this stuff. And our guys have been pretty good with that so far.
Coach, it's one thing to play well at home. You are playing well on the road. People can, you know, hypothesize why this year may be different than other years, but is there an explanation for that other than your guys are playing at a particularly high level right now?
Man, it's a great question. We actually pulled some home road splits for one of our guys the other day, and it was ridiculous how much better he was playing on the road than he is at home. And we kind of pulled him in and asked him, like, what are you doing on the road that you're not doing at home? You know, like, girlfriend, he might be in the gym too much when we're at home. We're on the road. We're limited as to what we can do. So I don't have an answer. I will say, over the whole country, I read an article the other day, there's some conferences that the road team's winning a higher percentage of their games than the home team is. So the crowd not being there as big as it, you know, typically would, obviously has something to do with it. You know, I don't have an answer for that, though, because you'd think the gym you shoot in all the time and you get all your practice shots in, you'd be shooting the best. But shoot, we just went on the road, broke the SEC record for threes made in a game at LSU two nights ago, and, you know, we shot it well on the road at Auburn. We played well on the road at Tennessee. So, I hope we play that well at home here coming up, because we got more home games left than we do road games in the SEC, and we have been playing well on the road. I don't have an answer for it, to be honest with you.
Coach, everybody has a different approach, and I'm curious about this, and I know it's probably come up before, but you know, you have a math background. And we live in an age and with analytics dominating so many aspects of life, including sports. Is there a way to make the metrics work in basketball?
We're trying. I mean, it's all about efficiency for us, you know, like both sides of the ball, and, you know, expected value on a shot and your offensive efficiency numbers. So free throws are the most efficient shot you can possibly get. You know, at the rim twos are the next best one, and then kick out threes or wide open threes are the third best. And we try to take one of those three shots every time down the floor. Now, we don't get it every time, but we've got a analytics deal. We've got a third-party analytics company that churns out numbers for us on a daily basis, and we've got our own internal, our ops guy does an unbelievable job with our analytics, and we've got what we call a good shot percentage on every game, and what percentage of our possessions or what percentage of our shots were good shots, meaning one of those three, and we're typically over 90%. So I think that's why you see us taking so many threes, because we're not trying to take, you know, even if you take, like, let's say you're a good mid-range jump shooter, 45% would be really good on that. Well, that's 0.9 points per possession. You're going to lose most of the games if you're at a 0.9, where, you know, if you shoot 40% from three or shoot 33% from three is 1.0, that's better than 45% from two. So right now we're shooting 42% from three in conference play, so that's over 1.2 points per possession. If you've just got an average defense, you're going to win 95% of your games doing that. So we're trying to get, again, now you can talk about that, but then you've got to have an offense that generates those type of shots too, which is the harder part, the trickier part. I mean, anybody can sit down and do the numbers on it, but you got to be able to produce the kind of shots that the numbers tell you to produce, and I think that's where the coaching part comes in.
Coach, I have a generic liberal arts degree, so I mean, a lot of this is Greek to me, but I am fascinated by it, and I hate to keep asking you to explain more, but you have a master's in this, and I'm mystified listening. But it's one thing to plan all that out, but you're in game, you're at Tennessee, you're at LSU, you're at Auburn. What happens to all this this genius analytics while the game is underway?
Listen, if you only worried about it in the games, it would all go up in smoke and it wouldn't work. But when you've got 30 practices and you've got all summer, and whenever we get our new shoe, when I first got the job at Alabama, I sat at one of the first meetings I had with our team, I sat down and did, you know, I went back to my high school math teaching days and did a quick numbers lesson for them on, and I showed them, you know, basically the percentage of shots they were taking here in the past. Then I kind of, you know, and you hate to come in from a place like Buffalo and start comparing yourself, but I did it. I was like, look, here's what we did at Buffalo. Here's the points per possession on these type of shots. Here's what was going on here. Here's the points per possession. Here's how many of these shots you took, what percentage. Here's how many of these shots, you know, we took, and here's the numbers. And, like, I mean, we've had guys come in and sit down with us, you know, coaching friends, coaching peers, and we'll look at their numbers. Look, their shooting percentages aren't that much different than ours, whereas the overall efficiency is much different because we take so few of the inefficient shots and so many of the efficient shots. But you have to do that starting on day one. You coach it, and then you keep coaching it, and you show them. We send out statistics to our guys after every practice. Like, they've got their own personal shot chart from practices, and they see what the numbers are. And if a guy's really not buying in, like, I'll bring him in, show him video, show him the numbers, do another math lesson with him again, and show him what, instead of taking this, look at what we should be getting. And I just think, like you said, when you get in the games, if it's not preached and taught from day one in practice all the way through, you can talk about it all you want. It's not going to work in the games. So we practice it. We teach it. I use my math teaching days. I don't do too many math lessons, but when I need to. Shoot, I remember I asked for this was actually defensively. I'm like, man, I need a protractor and a compass down here so I can show, like, draw the line from the ball to the rim and how it moves. And when the line moves, they got to stay on the line. I'm like, man, somebody go find me one of those from, I said, I used to have them back in my Romulus days when I was teaching math. I need one of those, show a 90-degree angle and how they need to stay on it. So I think Alex, our ops girl, found me one, and I used it for a day on the whiteboard in there.
Coach, if you weren't doing so well as a head coach, I might suggest you have a great future ahead of you. But I don't think that's on your mind right now. But I do want to look ahead a little bit to where what happens next. And I know there is very few things more important to basketball fans in the SEC than the postseason tournament. We love the SEC tournament. But we had a guest on the other day, Pat Forty, who started talking about the challenge of getting to the NCAA tournament and where the conference tournament, and for especially for a successful team like Alabama, you know, may be a deterrent. I know that's not a popular topic right now, but how do you think some of the schools are going to approach the conference tournament in an effort to try to help themselves? And we're talking about COVID here more than winning the tournament for an AQ.
Yeah, I had a writer text me yesterday asking that same question. I hadn't really given it much thought, so I kind of gave him the quick, like, I'm more of the opinion, let's keep stuff as normal as we possibly can. Obviously, nothing's normal during COVID here, but let's try to make it as normal as we can. So I was like, no, I'm all for the tournament, but I haven't really sat down to think about all the ramifications of it. I'm still going to say I'm going to be more inclined, even after I sit down and look at it all. Last conference tournament I played in was in the MAC. We won 3 out of 4 when I was up there. Those are some of the most fun things you can get to. Like, I think it's experiences for your players. Like, you can't, to win the NCAA tournament would be unbelievable. The odds of that happening are very, very, very small. The odds of winning the SEC tournament are much larger than winning the NCAA tournament. They're both championships. You know, your kids are going to remember both for the rest of their lives. Like, I would hate to take away a chance for our 5 seniors to win a championship just in hopes that we maybe get to the NCAA tournament to play. But, like, I don't really like that, to be honest with you. I want to play the SEC tournament. I think our medical staff's done an unbelievable job. You know, our trainer, I just talked to the head trainer, Jeff Allen, here in football when I came over to do this interview here in Malmore. I think they've done a great job making sure our guys are as protected as they can be from COVID. I think they'll do the same thing at the SEC tournament. So the more I look at it and think about it, maybe I'll have some more opinions, but my guess is I'm going to stay the same opinion that we need to play that SEC tournament. And if I've got the option, my team's going to be there, and I'm going to give my guys the opportunity to make a lasting memory. They only get one chance to play in college, and that SEC tournament's a big deal for them.
Nate Oates with us. Coach, before you go, and we rarely ask an Alabama coach about something that's happening at the University of Tennessee, but as most of our audience, and I'm sure you know by now, your old boss, Danny White, was hired today in Knoxville to become the next athletic director. You go back with him considerable amount of time, and especially for all of us who are interested in what he is like, can you tell us or enlighten us on Danny White?
Yeah, kind of when I heard he got the job, it kind of made me reminisce about, you know, my time with him. Shoot, less than 8 years ago, I was still, you know, we won the state championship in Romulus back in Michigan less than 8 years ago, 2013. Bobby Hurley hires me. So really, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Coach Hurley and Danny White, because Bobby hires me. Bobby, after 2 years at Buffalo, goes to Arizona State, and I literally less than 2 years previous to that time, I was still teaching and coaching high school math and basketball back in Detroit. Danny White, young AD, done a great job with the hire with Hurley. You know, his dad's Kevin. You know, he's well entrenched in the business, but he easily could have gone and gotten some much bigger name than some high school guy nobody in the business really knew about. Danny did it, turned out to, I think it made a great hire. I might be a little biased, but I think it turned out for what we did at Buffalo. But I mean, he really didn't have to do it. I mean, he was young, and he's kind of putting his name and his future on the line, hiring me with only 2 years of Division I experience at all, with no head coaching experience in Division I. So I really owe it to him. But I will say this, he's super intelligent, very confident, Coach Saban, I've got him over here, and when there's a job to get done, like, Coach, you know, Danny White's the same way as an AD. Like, if there's something to get done, like, don't distract him from getting it done. He's going to get it done. And when he makes hires, he knows what he wants. My guess would be he's going to make a great football hire there at Tennessee. I mean, he hired Scott Frost at UCF. Like, he knows what he's doing, and he knows hiring coaches is probably the number one thing you can do as an AD. So, you know, not surprised at all to see him in the SEC. Back in my Buffalo, Alan Green was his deputy AD. Alan took over for Danny when Danny took the UCF job. Alan's at Auburn, with our tribal here at Alabama. Danny's at Tennessee. We've got a lot of us from up at our Buffalo days down here in the SEC now.
Well, Coach, thank you for sharing that with us. And I just can't tell you how great this conversation was. I was riveted to everything you were saying. All the best. You guys are off and running to a level that Alabama basketball has not seen in a considerably long time. Please come back.
No, I appreciate you having me on, Paul. Really enjoy listening to your show and got great insight to everything. So appreciate it. Roll Tide.
Thank you very much, Coach. Nate Oates from the University of Alabama. I mean, if you're not blown away by this guy, then you are not paying attention. That was absolutely a compelling conversation, especially about the analytics part. But again, he's a former math teacher. We will take a break. Wonder why I did so poorly in math. We are going to have more of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. It's been a busy one already. Terry Bowden was with us in the last hour. He's a new coach at Monroe. We talked about the White hire. The Kevin White hire at the Danny White hire, Kevin's his father, Danny White hire at Tennessee. We're coming right back with more.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Welcome you back. It's great to have all of you here. And I'm still just somewhat blown away by Coach Oates. I know him. I've been around him a number of times, but I've never gone down the math route. I guess when you're a terrible math student, you're really impressed by people who understand difficult subjects. Let's get to the calls and check in with Ben, who is on the air. Hey, Ben, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, I wanted to ask you just two questions today. The first has to do, or I guess they both have to do with non-conference games for the upcoming football season. There's a lot of big ones, Alabama, Miami, Napier taking on Sarkisian with Texas and Louisiana, Oregon, Ohio State, Auburn at Penn State, and I don't know if I said Alabama and Miami or Georgia and Clemson. And so I wanted to know first which one of those are you most excited for? I don't think I mentioned Liberty versus Ole Miss is a big one as well with a big storyline. And then the second question is, are you buying or selling Hugh Freeze and Malik Willis walking into Oxford and beating Lane Kiffin next year?
I hate to give you a pat answer, but I started thinking about those games as you read the list, and I'm pretty fired up about seeing non-conference games, and nothing against the SEC games we saw this year, but there is a certain majesty to those type of games. I'm trying to remember which game really grabbed me, but I mean
Georgia and Clemson. If Kirby can't,
yeah,
beat Clemson,
I think that,
that's another year gone where he couldn't beat a big team.
Where is that game?
It's in Charlotte.
Oh, okay. Well, that's interesting. I was at the last time they played. I think maybe it wasn't the last time, but I was in Clemson in 2013 for that game, and they may have played the next year, although I don't think so. But that is such an interesting game. That's the game I would want to be at, other than being in Oxford for Lane Kiffin versus Hugh Freeze. I will beg someone to send me to that game.
Me too. I plan on being there. You taking Hugh Freeze to march in there and do it?
I'm going with Lane on that one. I just think I'm going to play the percentages. Hugh Freeze has done an amazing job, but you talk about emotion. That's going to be a tough game for him.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, thanks, Paul.
Thank
Have
you.
A good day.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Man, I'm already thinking about next year. Let's check in with Mitch, who is up next. Hey, Mitch.
Hello, Mr. Feinbaum. How are you doing today?
Mitch, I'm well. Thank you for asking.
Fantastic. Good to hear that. Your interview skills are so amazing. I was mesmerized by your interview with Coach Oakes, and it's just phenomenal what you're able to draw out of people. I'm always interested to hear when you interview someone.
Well, Mitch, I love talking to callers. That is really what this show is known for. But interviews are just a challenge to me, especially about subjects I don't know very much about. And that was one I knew nothing about in terms of analytics. I've read Moneyball and all that, but I knew that he used it. I just didn't know how.
Well, it was phenomenal, the questions you asked and the understanding that you were able to draw from him. I'm a former accountant, so the way the math falls into everything has always intrigued me.
Well, Mitch, I will tell you this. I mean, everybody has their skill set, but if you put me into an accounting class and said, if you can get an A in this class and the lottery, the Powerball sum is at the end of the rainbow, I don't think I could do it. It has always been my worst subject, and I don't know how people like you do it, because it is you have to have a discipline set to be able to deal with that. And if I have a skill set, it's not for that.
Well, I'm one of those kind of people, when I look at numbers tell me a story.
Right.
And that's what made my career so interesting to me. It wasn't so much the math itself, but it was just looking at something going on in my area of responsibility and let it talk to me about what was going on.
Let me ask you this, because
sure.
I'm really interested in that. So when you're dealing, and numbers can be a lot of things, but in accounting, you're talking about a lot of possibilities and going down, volumes of documents. How does the story begin as you start to look at these numbers?
Well, I did manage mental accounting with chemical plants, and so my area of expertise, I had created standards and that sort of thing, the kind of things you plan on, the engineers plan on happening, and the deviations would tell me that something was going on. So, for example, you're using too much of a raw material, the engineers would have an explanation of what was going on, but I would simply look at the results and say, hey, this is off here, this is outside the standard, what's going on, and start talking to the engineers about it, and they would do their analysis and find out what was going on, and typically you could figure out how to improve the process.
Interesting. Wow. That is very, that's fascinating. Mitch, I can't thank you enough.
Sure. Well, I mean, it's the analytics you were talking about with Coach Nate was something that's been intriguing me, because I've kind of formulated in my mind ways you could use that to try to set a game strategy or whatever, and it makes a lot of sense. But that kind of comes up to the question I had for you when I called. It would seem to me that the people most interested in college sports and most interested in the results would be the gamblers at Vegas.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
They're putting money. So I've wondered, is there some way to incorporate the lines or the rankings or whatever, however way they would do it? Mr. Sheridan can address that. But it would seem to me that you could take something from Vegas and say who the top four or who the top 20 teams in the country are.
Yeah.
And by utilizing something.
Yeah, Mitch, I think they do. Danny Sheridan, by the way, is a very smart man when it comes to analytics too. He doesn't base everything on that. You can't, and you have to use emotion in picking games. Not that I've ever done it, but I have spoken to him enough times. I can't thank you enough. That was a really interesting call there. We will go to a break. I hate to see the show end today. It's been so much fun with Terry Bowden and Coach Oates and Andy Staples earlier talking about the hiring of Danny White. But we must break here. more of your phone calls in a moment.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back here on a late Thursday afternoon, and Logan is in North Carolina. Hey, Logan.
Hey, Paul, my friend. How are you doing today?
We are doing great. Nice of you to call.
I just want to – good times ahead, man. I just want to say thank you so much for that Nate Oates interview. I was blown away by that, and maybe it's because I'm a bad math student too, but what he was saying made sense, and just the way he incorporates that into his practices – so the players shoot those high percentage shots. I mean, that's pretty smart. That kind of explains why he's doing so well this year.
Well, when you think about what he said, you know, you either shoot the ball in the paint, or you shoot a three. There's the statistical benefit of a long 2-point shot is zero.
Exactly. So, you know, why take those shots? It makes total sense. And the way he was doing the percentages on 3-point. And how efficient they are, that makes sense too. I guess I'll admit to being a fair weather Alabama basketball fan. I probably haven't watched them since Jim Farmer and Mike Godfrey played. I must have been probably like 8 years old or something. But my friend Joe has been trying to get him into watching them again. And after seeing that interview, Paul, I think I'm going to start watching some Alabama basketball again. You know, I'll admit I'm a fair weather fan.
I used to follow it really closely, and it's been an up and down ordeal. I mean, what people don't realize, Logan, and you understand it being a fan, but Alabama has had a lot of really great basketball players, but they were just never been able to get over the hump and be consistent, other than a few moments in time, but not. And you were talking about one of them.
Yeah, I remember watching Robinson, Sprewell, McKee, all these great players that went on to have great NBA careers. And they just seemed to always underachieve, and you know, they never could get past the Sweet 16. So it kind of was like all that losing after a while. You're just like, well, they're going through a bunch of coaches, but I think they made a great hire with this guy. This guy seems to be—he seems to be amazing. So I was very, very impressed, Paul. So
yeah, no, we have had—we've had Coach Oates on quite a few times when we have traveled through Tuscaloosa. But you know, you're sitting there on a football set; it's hard to really get down and dirty in basketball. But today was perfect, and you know, it comes from his background. I mean, you have to love the idea that this guy was a basketball coach and math teacher in Detroit, and he was at one of the legendary high schools there for basketball too.
And that was less than probably 6 years ago, and now he's head coach of Alabama. That's pretty amazing.
He's done okay.
I'm really excited.
Hey, you take care of yourself, and we'll talk to you soon. George is up next. Hey, George.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. How are you doing today, bud?
I am well. Thank you, George.
Listen, a couple of things. I just want to say I sure do miss Tammy. What a class act that lady was. You know, I hear her on your commercials and all, and it reminds me every time I hear your commercials, you know, how much I miss her.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because we've lost a lot of people on this show. It's natural and understandable, but her voice was certainly the loudest and the most enjoyable. And I mean, she's one of the few callers, a little known secret here, that I try not to raise my voice, but I mean, there was no way to communicate with her without screaming.
Yeah, well, you're right. But I think she missed her calling, because man, she had the whole acting thing down. On the radio, she was one personality, and then I saw her on your show, and what a class act.
Yeah, we fortunately got to be around her a number of times, and she was not the same person. I mean, she had some signs of that person, but she was really a dear, sweet person off the air.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it was a blessing that we all got introduced to her, even though it was through the radio and through your show. But my question is this. Is there any rumors? I haven't heard. I'm a big Bama fan. Both my sons go to Bama, Roll Tide. But is there any rumors about Malzahn? I mean, are you hearing anything about through the FCS or FBS? Anybody?
No, let me state the obvious. He walked away with $20 million. So the desire for him to coach immediately is not particularly pressing. I think he's going to sit this year out. That doesn't mean he won't get involved somewhere, but I don't have any doubt Gus Malzahn will be a head coach again.
You know, exactly. I mean, you know, he if I'm not mistaken, he beat Saban's teams at Alabama more than any other head coach.
Yeah, he won. He beat Saban three times, and he was 3-5. The only other person that Les Miles beat Saban twice or three times, I can't remember. I know Hugh Freeze won two years in a row, but Gus was unbelievable. We'll take a break. Another hour to go. We are coming right back.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.